legendary recording artist. Well, he's a singer-songwriter. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's got a top five song of the century. He's a music icon. Don McLean is joining us to talk about his latest album. It's called Still Playing Favorites. Hi, Don.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. Yes, it's called Still Playing Favorites, which is kind of an inside thing because Playing Favorites was back in 1973, I guess. And it was the fourth album that I made, and I made it of a lot of songs that I didn't write. And so that's what's on this record, a lot of songs that I did not write, but that the group that I travel with, we like to play them in shows.
And so why did you revisit the concept? I guess it's doing covers, but of course you make them your own as well. Why revisit that so many years later?
It just sort of happened. You know, I had these songs that I had been collecting from studio things that I'd done, and I wanted to, you know, find a title and brought back the old title, and it's got a cute cover. I have my girlfriend kissing a poster of me, and it's like, you know, like one of those album covers from the 1950s or 60s or something, nothing too profound, and just, you know, I think that we really did a good job on a lot of these songs. The band that I travel with is very guitar centric, so there's a lot of good guitar playing on the part of Dip Dipperman and Mike Sievers, and then Jerry Kroon on the drums. Tony Migliori plays fabulous piano, and Brad Albin is on bass. We have some other bass players on there as well, and I get to play a little, so it's just time for something like that.
When you're recording songs, let's say like So Doggone Lonesome, which of course was, you know, a hit for Johnny Cash, when you're recording those songs, where are you going creatively? Obviously you want to make it Don McLean, but how do you incorporate Johnny, who's also a legend, into your track? What do you do? Take me there creatively.
Well, I'm not afraid of any man, so you know, I'll take on Crying, which was a major song for Roy Orbison, yeah. And I think I can make it my own. And so I have a love for any song that I do, you know, and I'm really in love with this stuff. And so I infuse my love for this into the song, and I arrange it myself. And actually, the song Doggone Lonesome was a track that Cash recorded, but it was a song he wrote for Walking the Floor Over You. I can't think of his name. Ernest Tubb. So Cash was, you know, writing songs before he got to be Johnny Cash, and always wrote songs. But I knew Johnny Cash. You know, some of these people I've known, and so it's all part of my, I don't know how to describe it, it's like a good feeling that I get from doing this stuff.
Is he kind of in the forefront of your mind then, or
no,
vision?
No. No, I'm thinking about the lyrics only.
Okay.
I only think about the lyrics. That's what I think about. Once I get a handle on the song and know I want to do the song, and I love the lyrics, like the song that's on there called She Used to Love Me a Lot, that's like a movie. And I want to make it cinematic when I sing it. And I think we did that. And so, you know, and then Tell Old Bill is like a song I was singing when I was 14 or 15 years old. I've loved that song all my life. It's a mystical song in a way. You know, imagine, you know, you go off to town and there's a lot of folks like that, you know, warning. You know, like Johnny wrote a song, Don't Take Your Guns to Town. They're always warning the young folks on the farm, you know, stay away from the city. It's bad, you know, it's dangerous. And, you know, you won't be able to handle it. So, Old Bill, let them downtown girls alone. And it's like Leadbelly wrote a song called Fannin Street, where he wore long pants for the first time and went down to Fannin Street in Shreveport. So this is a recurring theme in a lot of songs, folk songs, that have to do with young people leaving the farm.
Now, let me flip around that question then, too, because you've also had other artists record your music, of course.
Yeah.
Do they connect with you to get your insight? Obviously, you must have an opinion when it's your own song, like, you know, Madonna doing American Pie. Like, do you give your feedback to them?
Madonna doesn't need any help from me.
No.
I mean, you know, she's just, she's a juggernaut, and I was so happy that she did the song, and I loved what she did with it. And I love that cool production that she did. And that video really was one of her best videos, I think. Everybody knows and remembers that video.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it was a hell of a shot in the arm for that song.
Well, you know, I couldn't interview without bringing up, you know, American Pie, obviously, right? It's one of your biggest hits. And that was in 70, was it? It was 71, right?
Yes, in fact, we're going to have the 50th anniversary of the release of the American Pie album next year, and it's going to be a documentary movie and a children's book and also a Broadway show, which I'm about to sign a contract for, and these are things that will be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens. If I drop dead tomorrow, these things are going to happen.
And, yeah, and so the documentary called The Day the Music Died, right? The story behind...
Uh-huh.
Is that going to sort of...
I think what is going to be in that movie is more or less what I was trying to say in the last few interviews, the one with The Guardian, that there's more biographical aspect to that song and all my music. Then people perhaps will realize. So we're going to make it more of a personal journey and enlarge things that way. So it's going to be very interesting and revelatory, I hope.
When we think of how many songs have come and gone in the years, right? Not your songs, I just mean, you know, on the radio in general. There's really something about American Pie that stuck, and I love asking an artist, can you pinpoint what is it about that song that people loved, or I guess still love today?
Well, I think it operates on a lot of levels. You know, it's fun, it's serious, it's sad, it's happy, it's rock and roll, it's pop, it's folk, it's a children's song, it's so many different things, and I think it's been a good friend. I hope that some of my songs are good friends to the people that love them and hear them, as music should be. So it's always with you to go back to, you know, like a good movie or a good record that you like. You know, it's very important that we have these things. You know, it's very accessible music, you know, more so than books. You read the book and the book hangs around and you really don't read it again. You know, you maybe give it to somebody else to read, but a song you can hear over and over and it lives in your mind and you know the words. Nobody can topple it like a statue. Nobody can knock it down like a building. It lives in people's hearts and in their minds. It's a very powerful art form, and it's something that I devoted my life to because I saw it that way, that nothing was better than doing that for people, if you could, you know, if you could do that. I had no guarantee that I'd be able to write songs or that I'd be able to do anything. And I just wanted it real bad and did it, worked at it.
And it's obvious the song is still close to you. I mean, you know, all these years later, look at how you're actually growing the song into other projects. But I have to ask, because I've asked everyone from, you know, Dolly Parton to Loretta Lynn to Kenny Rogers, do you ever get sick of performing that huge song? Does it ever get old for you?
Well, it's not my job to worry about me. My job is to perform it for other people who pay money to see me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the luxury of bringing my personal preferences, my whether or not I have a stomach ache or whether or not something made me mad. I don't bring that to the stage. My job is to entertain and give everything that I have to that audience because they have assembled there and taken time out of their lives, and their time is precious, and spent their money, and it is not relevant. That's the thing. A lot of young performers and as it's really started since the 60s. You know, I remember seeing one time the Buffalo Springfield, they were opening for the Beach Boys, and they were on this, and Stephen Stills got on stage and started whining about how tough it was being on the road. I was sick, man, you know, all this stuff. I said, don't ever do that. I made a personal note to myself because it was just so, you know, self-indulgent. Just sing the songs, man. You know, we're not here to hear your problems.
But take me on the stage. When you know that song is coming up next, you must know the audience is going to go wild when they hear, right? Like, what are you thinking? What's going through your head just before you start the song?
Well, I've already set it up by singing a lot of other songs that will lead toward it.
Yeah.
Because I do kind of the American songbook, and a lot of those songs are songs I wrote, and then there's songs that I sing that I'm known for, and so on. So, you know, and it can come at different times. I just did a recent thing with this 615. It was a little in-studio concert. And I put American Pie in the middle of the show. I didn't put it at the end. You know, I ended with something else. So I can do pretty much what I want to do. You know, what I'm trying to do is take people on an interesting journey musically. With some stories and whatever, and I'm happy with the repertoire that I have. I like my songs. You know, going back to your other question about getting tired of singing them, I would get tired of singing some song that was a piece of garbage that I was known for. But I like my songs. They're good songs. They're famous. They have stood the test of time, and I'm very proud of them.
And I guess that's also too part of being a songwriter yourself as well, is that they are like your baby then, right? Like, you do have that closer connection than somebody writing a song and giving it to you and you performing it. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think so. It's a little bit more personal, but I mean, yes and no. Sometimes there are wonderful songs that I love to sing that I couldn't possibly write. I wouldn't be a good enough writer to do it. And so I'm glad to be able to sing those because, you know, they give me musically what I want.
So the new album is called Still Playing Favorites. Where can people get it?
It's online, digital at the moment. But if you go to my website, just look up Don McLean YouTube website, and you'll see so much of me you won't believe it.
Well, I'm always in awe chatting with music legends, so I appreciate you making the time. The great Don McLean,
thank you
so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your good questions. I really appreciate it.